I mean, right now we're hearing from the local law enforcement, but I mean, you put out that timeline, and I just can't believe that she doesn't have. I'm looking at her receiving these statements from you, your colleagues, bipartisan. It's not like it's registering to her. Like, I don't really believe she must be a ceremonial hire. Does she have any authority in the Secret Service at all?
She claims to. I mean, I don't know much about how it has been operating. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that you don't pay attention to until it fails. But it's a zero fail mission. I mean, the fact that this was allowed to happen, and that's why on Sunday I decided I wasn't going to fly to Washington. I drove, and I stopped in Butler, Pennsylvania, because I wanted to see that site for my own two eyes before we had this hearing with the director of the Secret Service, because, you know, the video doesn't do it justice. The diagrams don't do it justice. Those buildings seem farther away. And the threat, I mean, I've done several presidential advance events in my life, working with the Secret Service on events when President Bush came to you know, Buffalo and Rochester in the mid-2000s. And I just remember how elite and remarkable their attention to detail was. These buildings are no more than a nine-iron shot from the podium. And you don't have to be a good golfer. I mean, anybody that was a mediocre shot with a gun, if they had access to that rooftop, could have taken out the next president of the United States. And the fact that there wasn't a team on each of the roofs of the three buildings on that piece of property is just dereliction of duty. This should have been part of the secure perimeter. It's only common sense. I mean, the intern answering in my phone in my office, it's been on the job 1 week. If you asked him to draw the secure perimeter, he could have done that.
I don't want to put words. I want to put words in your mouth, Congressman Nick Langworthy joins us. But you got to the. I mean, you're absolutely right. We can watch it on TV all day, and the phone footage doesn't really give you depth or perspective. But as you're standing on that roof, is it fair to say that that's really the only threat in the area?
You have a water tower, and you've got these series of industrial buildings. And it's not like they were overwhelmed with the amount of rooftops to cover. I mean, this is basically like a small fairgrounds that they had the rally at. There are three barns, the grandstand, and the stage with the podium were in front of the barns. And there was a clear and direct line of sight from these roofs, and they don't have any officers stationed on these roofs. I mean, it's just maddening to see such a poor job. And I thought that Mike Turner, the chairman of intelligence, put it best when he said, you know, if it looks it's gross incompetence because President Trump was alive, but you'd be completely culpable if he had died. And it lends itself to all the, you know, many conspiracy theories out there that there's cooperation. And at a time where federal agencies have the least public trust probably in our nation's history, this is not healthy. And that's why she had to go. I'm glad she finally woke up this morning and figured out that her time was short, that the public pressure was mounting. She united the oversight committee, the most contentious committee in Congress. I mean, when you have AOC agreeing with Lauren Boebert that the person should resign, something is clearly, you know, wrong here.
I mean, you asked a question at one point. Congressman Nick Langworthy joins us. Excellent appearance on Fox News, by the way. Thing out of the convention was that Fox loves Nick Langworthy. We're going to see much more of him, which is really cool to see. You were on with Fox Business, but you asked a question. They played this for the clip in your Fox hit, but you asked a question of, like, at this time, the shooter was ruled to be suspicious by local police, and they, you know, radioed that up to hire the Secret Service. And then you asked, what would make someone threatening? Her answer was, I don't know why they named him suspicious, therefore, I can't determine what is threatening. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, let's just recap.
What makes someone threatening?
This guy, who, let's face it, he's a real weirdo-looking guy, is walking around with a rangefinder, wandering around a building that clearly is a threat to the stage, and someone doesn't take the guy and say, hey, what are you doing here? You have citizens crying for help that there's a man on the roof, and still no one acts. And they allow the man that very well might be the next president of the United States to go on stage when they know there's a man on this roof. This has been well reported, well documented. Local law enforcement identified it 15 minutes before shots rang out.
But you know, the other thing that was unfortunate was that her, you know, obviously her performance was so egregious and almost like ignorantly combative. I don't even know if that's a term, but it was like she was almost being aggressive by how passive she was. And it was insane. We didn't even get to the other failings of the Secret Service post-shooting. I mean, you let the guy stand up and wave. You put him on the truck. He's allowed to have these iconic images. But let's be honest. You've shot the target of what you're there to protect. You don't spend that much time on the objective, and you certainly don't let the guy wave his fist in the air and expose himself.
Get him the hell out of there. And it's like Ronald Reagan said, they broke Ronald Reagan's rib putting him in the back of that limo, because how do you know there's not another shooter in the audience from a different direction? I mean, you had one job, and that's to protect one man at this rally and make sure he doesn't get killed. And yes, he insisted on pumping his fist, and that is a picture I believe that will live on in history books, for our kids to see. But it wasn't protocol. And the other question that several of my colleagues asked was the fact, why do we have people that are 5'9" acting as human shields for a guy that's 6'3"?
Right.
I mean, this is, I'm not saying that women can't do this job, but you have to match the protective detail to the stature of the individual they're protecting. People protecting Kamala Harris can be much shorter in stature, slighter in stature than they can for Donald Trump, who's 6'3". You know, he's a big, broad-shouldered man. And as he stood up, he's a head taller than half of the people in his detail. I mean,
it's such a rare time.
Feelings when, are
watching. We're watching the things that you have access to information that we'll never have access to. You know, congressmen and women will argue issues on tax code and things having to do with structures of billings and law. And we're all like, okay, yeah. This is something we all saw with our own eyes.
You all
saw
thousands
of brooders.
In the era of camera phones, there's undoubtedly tons and tons of footage that we haven't even seen yet. But I would learn more with one scroll through my X feed on Twitter than I would from 4.5 hours of listening to her nonsense yesterday. I mean, she stood in the way of giving any facts or answers. They didn't supply any of the materials that were demanded by the House Oversight Committee. She didn't take this hearing seriously yesterday, and I think she thought she was going to have protection from the administration. And clearly, even the Democrats walked away from Kimberly Cheadle, and hopefully she can go back to guarding Doritos, as my colleague Pat Fallon said yesterday.
I gotta bring in this soundbite from Veep and Selena Meyer when we refer to the to Kimberly Cheadle. This reminds me of one of my favorite shows.
The level of incompetence in this office is staggering.
That is about as accurate as we can put out there. I have to bring up one other issue though, because this is almost connected. She wasn't fired, right? And no. I guess I'm looking for someone to be fired. We had Afghanistan. We've got, Tony Blinken casually announces at the Aspen Security Summit, hey, Iran might have a nuke by the end of the week. Like, hey, bud, that's kind of a big deal. Like, why aren't we holding people accountable? Why is she allowed to resign? She should have been fired on July 14th.
The fact that the president has enacted, I mean, we haven't seen the president. I guess we're going to see him tonight. I mean, this is the American people have to do the firing, and they have to do the firing in November, and they've got to fire Kamala Harris. because his terrible record is her terrible record. And, you know, they're one in the same, different vessel, doesn't matter, same exact governing strategy. But, you know, she doesn't come to this race with a lifetime of being a perceived moderate. She was to the left of Bernie Sanders in her time as a U.S. senator. This is a totally different mindset that she'll bring to the table here. And no matter how much they try to polish this up, her positions, her refusal to, you know, be in the chamber as we receive Benjamin Netanyahu tomorrow, one of our greatest allies on planet Earth, she's boycotting being there in her ceremonial role as president of the Senate. And I think her radical ideology is going to start to pour through, and there's not going to be a honeymoon here. I mean, we're going to go. We have 104 days left in this election. And we have two very drastic paths that this country faces, and the choice is crystal, crystal clear.
Congressman Nick Langworthy joins us, and I got to ask you, when you've been around politics long enough to know that, you know, if you're in a heavily, dependent on registrations in districts, assembly, Senate, you name it, Congress, the announcement of not running again oftentimes means that, you know, you're retiring. It's a big deal. You have a responsibility to your constituents to let them know if you're a candidate or if you want to resign or how you're going to step down. I've seen local congressmen resign with more dignity than I have the President of the United States putting out that really weird no letterhead auto-penned you know, Twitter release, and then the Dr. Jill Hart emojis it. I mean, people quit jobs with more warning and proof of life. I can't leave my gym membership without a face-to-face meeting with a manager. Well, how is this guy getting out of the race with a tweet?
We have witnessed a coup d'etat in this country. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is as vicious of a politician as there has been since LBJ. And she muscled the president out of this race, her with the assist to Barack Obama. They made this happen, let's face it. And now here we are 24 hours later, and I'm reading headlines, Kamala Harris has earned the delegate support. She hasn't earned anything. She hasn't done anything. She's made one half-hearted speech at a campaign headquarters. These people have been told who they're going to support. They've canceled the voices of 14 million primary voters. If Republicans tried to pull this, you know, we would be chastised to no end. I mean, but they're authoritarian. They practice unanimity in the Democratic Party. There's no space for differences of opinion, and they're not going to have the big discussion of, you know, should we entertain a more moderate voice? Or there's different candidates. There's some accomplished governors. You know, let's have a mini primary. There are all sorts of things circulating in the press. And one by one by one, every politician, every power broker is coming out and say, oh, Kamala Harris is going to be the greatest. She's going to be the great leader. She's the border czar that's never been to the border. You know, the area that she was assigned by the president is her duty is probably it's either the first or second greatest failing of this administration. I mean, she has never received a vote from a primary voter for President of the United States, not even when she ran in the year 2020. She was such an abysmal failure, despite raising more money than anyone at the outset. She dropped out before Iowa because she was polling at 1%.
She never even got a crack at the caucus itself. I mean,
she never even got that far because she ran out of money because she was so bad at this. So,
but I want to give you this timeline that Miranda Devine is putting out here, because I consider this to be an existential threat. I'm talking to New York's 23rd Congressional District's Representative Congressman Nick Langworthy joins us. He's been all over Fox News, and people are starting to take that Fox News clip, and that's getting as many hits as what Congressman Langworthy did yesterday in a bipartisan hearing, the Secret Service, former, now she resigned, Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle. But Congressman Miranda Devine, New York Post, is reporting that Biden was approached with 25th Amendment or you get out of this race. And to me, that's a police officer going up to a senator and saying, you discharged your firearm, I'll either arrest you or you get off the Armed Forces Committee. I mean, you have an obligation under, if it's a 25th Amendment issue, you have a fundamental constitutional duty to execute the 25th Amendment. It's not a choice. And if you're leveraging the most powerful man in the world, how is that not a criminal act?
This is coercion at its very finest. I mean, and it just shows how savage and how they will stoop to any level to cling to power, because, you know, they can read a poll just like anybody else. I mean, he was going nowhere fast, and he was dropping like a rock. But he clearly didn't want to leave, and he didn't want to have to admit that he has lost the ability to go out and handle this. I mean, we all saw this. I believe he was set up by his own handlers to go take that debate, because they knew he would fall on his face and they would have to figure out how, after the fact, they could get him out.
You've had candidates yourself, though, that had, you know, really bad polling numbers in August and end up winning. I mean, wasn't a poll out there that said, this is impossible.
Not in the least bit. I mean, and let's face it, we're not in a 24-hour news cycle anymore. We're in about a 3-hour news cycle. So things can change globally. Things can change domestically on a dime at this point. But he was forced out by the still very powerful former Speaker of the House, who, let's face it, still runs the show in the Democratic Party. She's cutthroat. She'll stop at nothing. And, you know, even though she's older than Joe Biden, she is the power broker and orchestrated this entire thing. And it's pretty well documented at this point. I'm not telling any secrets. Everyone in Washington knows what happened here. And Nancy made this happen. This is a coup d'etat. She faced the president and coerced him by force to get out of this race. And I think everyone's got to sit and think about this. Is they're all putting out their celebratory press releases about Kamala Harris and what a brilliant candidate she's going to be. No one picked her. No one's ever picked her. No one voted for her in these primaries because you're not guaranteed the slot as the vice president. There's no primary for vice president. You are nominated and chosen for the delegates by the top of the ticket.
That's an excellent point that no one's bringing up. Congressman Nick Langworthy from New York 23rd. I got 60 seconds. I want to ask you this final question. Do you ever get with your professional communications people, your social media people, and you look at Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz's social media and think, I, as congressman, also want to weigh in on things that have nothing to do with my job description?
You know, I believe in sober second thought, but, you know, there's plenty of people out there, and we won't name names, but you can, and they like to stick their nose where it doesn't belong, and, you know, jobs that they didn't have the audacity to run for.
And yet they want to wax poetic on India, Pakistan. They want to talk about the president. They want to talk about – it's crazy. I don't see Congress people doing that in Erie County politics.
You know, some people should, you know, focus on maybe paving some roads down in the South Towns.